Good morning again. The thing on? Yeah, it is. Our pastor, Elder Don Richards, is going to be gone for two Sundays. He's had some, been asked to fill some stands in other areas, and he asked that Brother Joe and I do our best to take care of things. And I told Brother Joe, Joe asked me if I had anything on my mind. I said, well, I do a little bit, but I'm going to go today so that I can get my part over with, and you can worry all week about having to stand next week. I was at the meeting in Canyon, Texas, south of Amarillo, yesterday. I went up to visit them, and there was a wonderful meeting. There was a lot of elders there, a lot of ministers, a lot of preachers. I said, good. I walked in. I said, I'll lead a few songs, and I won't have to worry about saying anything or speaking. And who did they call to stand the first time, first thing yesterday morning? And I was humbled, and it's a very fearful thing. If you've tried speaking to people, standing up in front of a crowd, it's a fearful thing. But when you stand before the Lord's people, especially people that know the scriptures probably a lot better than you do, it's a very fearful thing. And without the power of the Lord, I'd just as well be a radio up here playing your favorite song. And I want to thank my Aunt Eileen. She reached around, touched my arm as we were singing that last song, and she says, may the Lord be with you. That's all I need, Aunt Eileen. It's that kind of encouragement. All I need is the Lord to be with me, and maybe we'll won't sound like an idiot this morning. Because without him, without his power, without his strength, we're nothing. We can do nothing. We can accomplish nothing. And that's why we're here this morning. Because of his strength and his power. Because we know as the people that without his redeeming love, without his grace, without his power, we'd all be lost. We're all sinners by nature, by the nature of Adam's fall. But thank the good Lord that he had a covenant with his Son and the Holy Ghost to take care of his people. He knew his people before the foundation of the world. That's a long time ago. He wrote their names down in a book. I was reading a week ago, I was at Lubbock. They had the West Texas Fellowship. Y'all got to excuse me. If I get emotional, my sinuses just start running like crazy. So, and I took, my scripture was the 139th Psalm. Talking about his power and his strength and his glory. I told the folks up there in Lubbock, said, do you realize how powerful our Lord and Savior is? That our God is as strong, as powerful, it's just unfathomable. And let's just read some of this 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That's scary within itself, to know that the Lord has searched your heart, searched your feelings, and searched who you are, and he knows who you are. Does that scare you? Scares me that he knows my flesh. He knows my down sin. What does it say? Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. He didn't have to be right there. He knows what your thoughts are afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. and art acquainted with all my ways. I saw that word compasseth, and I thought I knew what it meant, but I said, let's just look this up. And he circles it around. It's a circle. He's around you all sides. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. He knows all your ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows it before you speak it. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Can you imagine? If we were to make our bed in hell, the Lord is there with us. You know, I've lived a sorrowful life, in my opinion, and there's been a lot of things that I've gotten involved in and done that I'm not happy about, and I'm ashamed of, and I'm not going to tell you about it either. I just want you to know that I'm a sinner. The Apostle Paul said he was the chief. Well, if he was the chief, I was the second lieutenant. But I had to argue with him about that. And while all that was going on, it left my mind that the Lord was right there with me. If I had really understood this, that the Lord was right there with me, I would have been ashamed. I would have fled. I would have run out the door. I said, I don't need to be in this situation. I don't need to be amongst these people. I don't need to be doing this because the Lord is here with me. How crazy was I? But we get in that shape. Why do we let ourselves get in that shape? Well, we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, woe is me. Why is my life like it is? If we just stop and think how wonderful our life is and think about these scriptures. Ninth verse, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I'd known that his hand was there, all I had to do was reach out and he would lead me out of that crap. Excuse me for saying crap, but that's what it was. And that his right hand shall hold me. It didn't say might hold me. It shall. And what I'm thankful for, I didn't realize it, but he was there. He was there holding on to me, keeping me from going off into just oblivion. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. You know, you can't hide. You can't run. You can't run from the presence of the Lord. That's what this psalmist is telling us about. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You hear that scripture a lot. I love that. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul right well. That my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. What are you telling me? What's the psalmist telling us? When we were formed in our mother's womb, the Lord knew us then, and he knew all of our members before it was even put together, before our cells became all together. He knew each and every one of those pieces. You know those people out there that want to tell you that a child is not a child until a certain point. You can take their life, and there they, now they even say you can have the baby born, and you can decide then whether to let that baby live or not. The Lord knows his people. He knows them in the darkness of the womb. How precious are those thy thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And here's the... these last two verses are really kind of what I got me reading this psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O Lord, know my heart. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, we have to admit and confess that we do have wicked ways in us, because that's our sinful nature. That's our nature. But we need to ask him, Lord, lead me in thy way everlasting. Take his hand. His hand is there. If you get in trouble, if you get in a situation you don't feel comfortable with, ask the Lord to help you. He's there. He's going to help you. And I feel confident saying that he's there to each and every one of you that are here this morning, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a desire to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives you that desire to come into his house. You know, there's a lot of places out there where we could have gone this morning. We could have been entertained. A lot of buildings up and down the road that we could have stopped at, and would have been a lot of fun, a lot of entertainment. I'm thankful that a lot of them have all that entertainment, because they come in my store and buy the instruments and the stuff that they need to have those bands. And I believe that those churches are filled with the Lord's people, the people who are striving to worship the Lord in the best way that they know how. I'm not condemning them at all. But I'm thankful the Lord showed me and has revealed to me and has revealed to you just a little bit more, given us just a little bit more light. The understanding to know that without his redeeming love and without his powerful hand upon us, we'd be nothing. I want to look real quick over here in Luke. I didn't mean to go to Psalms. I had Luke on my mind this morning, and I believe it's in the 6th chapter. Over here, Christ is talking to his disciples, and there's a great multitude that had come together. Well, if I can find where I was, 6th. Well, it'd help if I'd look at Luke and not John. All been there. Yeah. 6th chapter of Luke, not John. Let's start with the 17th verse. In Matthew, they call this a Sermon on the Mount. My notations in this, my particular Bible, they call it Sermon on the Plain, but it's the same sermon. His apostles and disciples had come up into the mountain and met him, all 12 of them, and he had talked to them, and then Luke says he came down from the mountain, 17th verse, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their disease. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And I know y'all have read this before and gone through this. We're not going to read this whole thing, but I want to get over here to the 43rd. Yeah, the 43rd verse. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a branded bramble bush gather they grapes. Y'all forgive me. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He's asking them, you're calling me Lord, Lord, but he's calling them out, says, some of you here are not doing the things which I say, which I command you to do. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, Christ is not talking to these people, the disciples. He's not talking about heaven or hell. He's talking about as you live right now on this earth. How do I know that? Verse 47, notice, it says this twice. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. That first one that built his house on a rock, he could hear the Lord. He could hear the instructions of the Lord. If he could hear the Lord, that means that he was the one of God's children. The dead alien sinner, the people of the scum of the earth, they're not listening. They're not hearing the Lord. I'm not saying that they might one day, but this is talking to us. This is talking to us, to God's people. You hear the Lord and you do the things that he commands you to do, and you're going to have a strong foundation, aren't you, Brother James? Your house is going to be built on a rock. The storms may come. You're going to weather the storms. You may have tragedy in your life. You may have financial trouble, but if you're doing the things that the Lord is telling you to do, he's going to be there. His right hand is going to hold you, and you're going to weather the storm. But if you hear that word, there again, it's still, we're talking God's people. 49th verse, if he that heareth and doeth not. Lord, I hear, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm a little smarter than you. I'm going to go out here on my own. I'm going to do these things. I've been there. He's like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the storm did beat vehemently, and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. When the storm comes, when trials and tribulations come, if you've been turning your back on the Lord, you hear him, he talks to you, he lets you know that you're his, but you're still smarter than he is. No, this is the way I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do this. You're going to fall. The storm is going to come, and hopefully the Lord will have mercy upon you. But you're putting yourself in a very, very dangerous situation to just buck the Lord. I run into this a lot in my life and my living, and it's kind of scary that I can be in a situation and do something I know I shouldn't do. And these scriptures, it happens. I'm thankful the Lord is merciful as he is, because he could have just smite me down. But immediately, if I hearken to his words and do the things that I know I should be doing, it's almost immediate that he gives me comfort and that he helps me. And my situation changes. And it's kind of scary the way it happens. And this probably happens to you. Think about it. You know, if you got something going on and you know you shouldn't do it, and if you say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and say, "Lord, give me strength, help me get through this. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do like you say I should." You'll see. He'll be there. His right hand will grab you and he'll pull you up. Isn't that right, John? He will. You've been there, I know. We've all been there. And I'm thankful for his love and for his strength and for his power. Brother Joe kind of messed me up this morning. I knew I was going to speak, and I said, "Well, I'm going to let the song service run a little longer," and then we'll do the prayer requests about 5 or 10 after, and that'll go into the preaching hour, and then there won't be as much time for me to fill, and it'll be a lot easier on me. But he pulled one on me. He decided he was going to do the prayer request, which is fine. I appreciate you, Brother Joe. I'm going to figure out what I can do to you next week. So be ready. I'm thankful for this body of believers. We're small in number. We're more in number than this. We all know that we have several out still that are sick. Sue has gone to see her back doctor. Sister Kimberly is dealing with her family and all the time. Avery is sick a lot. The Greens are traveling around, and if we ever all show up at once, we've got about 45 people here. And that happens from time to time. And it's a wonderful, wonderful occasion. But you know what? The singing this morning I thought was quite beautiful. I thought it was wonderful. We had a few more voices coming in from over in Big Spring. Joshua, I'm sorry, is this your wife? Or this? All right, I'm sorry, I don't know better. We're so thankful that y'all come to be with us. And John Wayne, we thank you for bringing them with you. And we love it when you come over to be with us. And that's evidence to me. They want to hear the gospel proclaimed Although this morning they might be a little disappointed, it's not as good as what Brother Don Richards would have done. But they want to hear about the God's love, His grace, His mercy, His election, choosing His people before the foundation of the world. And you know, we talk about that, and we get criticized. Well, you primitive Baptists think y'all the only ones? No, we don't. The Lord told Abraham that his seed would be as the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky, a number no man can count. Think about how many that is. The Lord's people are all over this earth, and they're not in primitive Baptist churches this morning. They could be in other places, or they're out in the world doing other things. But when he talks about hell, about Satan's people, he doesn't say they're like the sands of the seas or the stars of the skies. He says they're going to be in the lake of fire. Now, that's not a very big, you know, there's some big lakes, but even the biggest lake's not a very big body of water compared to the ocean. Look at that comparison. And I believe that's the comparison. The Lord's people over here in this great big sky, ocean, and everything, and the devil and his saints are in a little lake. There's going to be more people in the house in heaven because it's by His power, it's by His grace, by His love, by His electing power that anybody's going to be there. And if He chooses to take everybody, then He can do that. And I can't believe, I think He said, look, you know, I know He's merciful because He's been merciful to me. He is going to take a plethora of us. And when we all get up there, we're going to have quite a reunion and rejoicing even more. Look how powerful, how much love our God had. Look what He did. He brought all these people. Look what kind of love He had. And we're not going to say, well, that guy, I never saw him in church. It don't matter. Heaven is going to be housed with His people. Down here, there's churches, yes, and there are people that are striving to do His will, just like we reading here about the house, man that built his house on a rock. That's for now. That's for your life now. That's for salvation now. You know, you can save yourself from trouble now. Well, that's true. You can save yourself from condemnation. You can save yourself from feeling bad about yourself by doing the things that you want to do. My dad, love him to death, but when I was a kid, he'd leave the house and says, Gary, I want you to mow the backyard and get it mowed today. I'll be back this afternoon. I got to go to the hospital, visit the sick. When I get back, I want that yard mowed. Well, he's gone. I decided I'm going to do this and do that. And I didn't get the yard mowed. I heard the car pull in the driveway. Guess what I did? I ran. I hid. I went over in the backyard of the neighbor's house. I didn't want my daddy to find me. I didn't want his wrath to come upon me. I was trying to save myself from his wrath, but, you know, didn't work. He finally found out where I was, or he knew I'd come back for supper. He knew he would get the chance to get a hold of me. And he said, son, you didn't do what I told you to do. And now I got, there's a price you got to pay. And he pulled that belt, whatever, you know. Or he might say, you know, I owe you one, but I'm going to wait. And that's even worse. I had to go day by day by day, fearing what was coming to me. Now let's change that. If he just told me the same thing and he left, and I got that mower out and I started it up and I worked hard and I mowed that yard and I got everything done, you know, I was saving myself from the wrath of my father. I was saving myself right there in time. And that's the way we are, by being obedient and doing the things the Lord tells us to do and what we know we should do. You can save yourself from the wrath of your father. When my dad came back, pulled into the driveway, guess who was standing in the driveway? with a big smile on his face, holding that lawnmower, you know. Look, Daddy, I'm done. Go look at the yard. Look at the work I did. You commanded me to do that. I did it, and I'm proud. And guess what he says, son? Thank you, son. I appreciate that. You've been obedient. You did what I asked you to do. And I just swell up with all kinds of pride. And that's the same way it is with our Lord. If you do the things that you know you should do, if you get here and on Sunday morning you come to worship his name and you sing and you pray and you are with the saints and you love them and hug them, you're going to feel great about it. There's a great feeling about that. And you know that you're doing what the Lord asked you to do. Blessed be the name of our Heavenly Father. I'm thankful for him, for his grace, for his redeeming love, that he came to this earth and became a man just like us and took on all our sins, lived on this earth, lived a perfect life. He had to be perfect, because the sacrifice that the Lord wanted had to be perfect. And he fulfilled it to a jot and a tittle. He did everything that the Lord would have him to do. And he took his cross. He was crucified. He was buried. And guess what? After 3 days and nights, he rose. He came up. Salvation is his. When it comes to heaven and immortal glory, it's all about him. We can work on our salvation here by being obedient and saving ourselves from condemnation by doing the things that he would have us to do. I hope I haven't confused you this morning. I told Brenda she was making a ham and putting it in the oven. And I said, how long has that got to cook? She said, an hour. And 2 hours? Oh, 2 hours, okay. And that was at about 9:30, you know. I said, well, 2 hours. I said, you don't need to wait to 10, because I'm speaking. And I can bet you we'll probably be done about 11:30 or 11:45, so we want that ham to be ready when this is over. What else? She's got some great fixings with it, and Deborah brought some sauerkraut and sausage, is that right? We got a lot of food in there to eat, so I hope that y'all can stay and be with us and share in that meal. Let's sing a song and